Thank God. We'll be different when we leave here. Amen? Different. Higher. Closer to Him. Say, well, I'm already pretty high. Well, we got room to grow. Every one of us. We're going to be growing forever. We're never going to exhaust God. We're going to keep getting closer to Him. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2. For a couple weeks, last week, you know, was Easter, so we spoke on something different. But a couple weeks before that, we've been speaking on this subject. We called it Built Together. Just talking about our roles and that we are all a body and that we're that God is building something on this earth, His body, and we all have a part. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, verse 19. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Thank you, Lord. And so we spent a couple weeks just starting out talking about this, that we are fellow citizens, members of the household of God, that Jesus Christ is the chief's cornerstone. He's the center of everything. Not a man, Jesus. And that He's building us together, fitting us together, and building a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now look at your scripture sheet. Verse 22 in the Williams translation says, "You yourselves, in union with Him, in fellowship with one another, are being built up into a dwelling for God through the Spirit." In union with Him. So number one, we're in union with Him. And then number two, we're in fellowship with one another. We need both. I said we need both. If we're not in union with Him and we're just fellowshipping together, we're not getting everything we need to. If we're just in union with Him, but we're not coming around one another, that doesn't work. People think they're an island to themselves. They can go off. They don't need to gather together with other believers. That's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. And we will not be where we need to be if we isolate ourselves. For the sake of time, let's just look on your sheet, Ephesians 4:11. We read this as well. Ephesians 4:11 says, "He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Notice, He Himself gave these. Why did He give them? Why did He give apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? And by the way, these are all still in the body of Christ. These haven't passed away. There are still apostles. A real apostle is a sent one. A lot of times we call missionaries. A real missionary that's sent by God to somewhere, that's an apostle. Not everybody that goes overseas is an apostle. But somebody that starts a work from nothing, no foundation, goes where the gospel has not been preached, that's somebody that's truly called like that. You'll see things follow their ministry, and that's an apostle. Prophets, there are prophets. Brother Hagin was a prophet. He stood in the office of a prophet. Brother Copeland stands in the office of a prophet. You don't jump there overnight. There are prophets in the earth today. You don't make yourself one. You don't call yourself to any of these. Somebody says, "Well, my little kid, they look like they really talk a lot, so they look like an evangelist." Has nothing to do with how much you talk. Has nothing to do with your natural personality. It's an endowment, it's a spiritual gifting. It's something God puts in it. You can't say, "Well, I'm just going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a prophet." You can't do that. God calls. God's the one that gifts people. Amen. And you don't have to tell everybody what you are. If you are something, people will see it.
Yeah. Good. Amen.
You know, if you have a tree, you know, out in the lawn somewhere, and above it is this sign that says apple tree. And the sign could be flashing in neon lights. Apple tree, apple tree, apple tree. But if there are persimmons on that tree, it's not an apple tree.
Right.
It does not matter what you put on it, it's not going to bear apples. On the other hand, you come up to a tree and there are apples on it, 3-year-old could look up, you say, what kind of tree is that? That's an apple tree. Why? Because you see the fruit, it has apples, right? We don't need to try to convince somebody else what we are. We just need to follow God and do what we're supposed to do. And if we bear fruit, it'll be obvious to everybody that's what you are.
Amen. Yeah.
So too many people are trying to go around convincing people what they are. You have to respect my ministry. You have to, you know, I'm this or that. You don't need to call yourself anything.
Right.
I mean, you know, people will recognize it if it's there. But we don't need to make ourselves. We can't call ourselves. It says, He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Let's skip down at the bottom of your sheet. I don't know where it is on you. Ephesians 3, 1 and 2 on your sheet. Is that there? Let's just skip down there. This would be a good place for that. It says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, of which, this skips down to verse 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Now notice what he said. I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace. What's the grace? It's a spiritual endowment. It's a gift. It's equipment. He said, of God, which was given to me for you. In other words, God has gifted me to do something for you. And he says, then in verse 7, he's talking about the gospel of which, verse 6, he's talking about the gospel. He said, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. He didn't say, I became a minister because my mommy and my daddy told me I should be in the ministry. You realize there's people in the ministry or whatever because their mom or dad told them they ought to?
Yeah.
People start businesses or go into all kinds of vocations because they think that somebody told them they are good at it? We ought not to do that. We shouldn't tell our children that either. You shouldn't push them to do something, and we shouldn't say, well, you do whatever you want, whatever you think you can do. We ought to say, you go to God and ask him what you should do, and that will be the best plan, better than anything you could ever dream up.
Right.
You go and find what God has called you to do and do that, because that's the best way. He knows us better than anybody.
Amen.
But no, we don't call ourselves. It says, Paul says, I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, the equipping of God. God equipped me to do this. I didn't go out and say, you know what? I just feel like I want to go preach to the Gentiles. He did not do that. He was gifted. God called him specifically to do this. And that's the way he does with all of us. And this goes with everything. You realize we all have a calling. We all have something we are called to. There are things we're called to help the body of Christ, like in an environment like this. There are people that have part of what they're doing in life. Your calling involves everything you're supposed to be doing in life. So many times, some people, you know, go to one extreme or another in this, like they do in most things. They'll think everything's about ministry, the fivefold ministry. They'll exalt the ministry. They'll say it's all about what you do there. Or they'll say ministers don't matter at all, and we'll go over here and it's just all, you know, about what you do in the natural. Well, neither one's right. It's in the middle. Whatever God has called us to do, we ought to do that. If you're called to run businesses, you ought to do that. If you're called to be a doctor, be the best doctor you know how to do. You be. If you're called to be a teacher, if you're called to be an engineer, if you're called to be a home builder, whatever, find out what God wants you to do and you do that. And with that, then there will be other things. You're going to be part of a local body that we're all supposed to be hooked up in a church, which is what we mentioned last week. We're going to go into today. We ought to all be part of a local body because that's where we're going to grow. That's where we're going to be built up. That's where we're going to reach our full potential. And then there are going to be things that you're supposed to do within that local body. You may help out with the book library. You may help out with the children, or you may help out with the toddlers or the music or whatever. There's things that God has a complete package. Right now, I'm a software engineer. I've been a software engineer for many years, and I still do that full time. That's part of what I'm called to do right now. There was a time I thought, when I went to Rhema, no more engineering. I'm going down. I'm going to get a part-time job, and that'll be it. I'm going into ministry because I believe that's what I'm called to do. Let's see. That was 10 years ago. And I was wrong. And a lot of people are doing this. They're thinking, I'm waiting for the open door. I'm going to do this, and I want to get paid to do all this. No, you just do what God's called you to do. And I love doing what I'm doing right now. What I'm called to do right now, I'm called to be an engineer, and I do my best. I pray on the job. I pray in tongues. If I need something, I'll ask God for wisdom. I'll pray. It doesn't take away from my job. It helps my job. I don't stop and go over and pray for an hour. No, I'll be right at my computer desk and saying, God, where's the bug in this code? Show me. Yeah. Bob knows what I'm talking about. He's an engineer. You say God knows exactly what's wrong with that software. Yeah. He's practical. I'll say, God, show me. Give me the, literally, I'll just, you don't got to make a show. Lord, give me the wisdom, insight, knowledge, and understanding. Show me what's going on in this. Over and over. Go on to the next bug. Do the same thing. Go on to the next issue. Lord, show me what to do here. Show me how to architect this. Show me how to design this. Yeah. We ought to use the God's giftings in everyday life. If they don't work in everyday life, they're not going to work. They shouldn't just work in church. You know, or when we're being super spiritual. No, they work wherever you're called. Well, I'm called to do that, and I'm called. We believe we were sent here to start this church and to pastor it. And we're doing that. And it's both. And so we're gifted and called to do both together at this point. And that changes over time. We ought to just find out what God has called us to do it and enjoy it. And don't make an excuse for anybody. Don't let anybody tell you, well, that doesn't look real spiritual. That looks too natural. It doesn't matter. It's between us and God. God is the one we're going to answer to. When we get into heaven, it's not your friend that's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's going to be the head of the church, Jesus. And if you didn't do what you're supposed to do, but you said, but my friend or my mommy and daddy, it doesn't cut it. We're responsible for what he's called us to do. Amen. So Paul says, I'm doing this because I was gifted for you to do it. God called me to do it. I'm gifted to do it. And so go back up into Ephesians. That was, a chapter earlier than what we're reading here in chapter 4, verse 11. It says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give these? See, those are callings too. Why did he give them? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Looking right below that on your scripture sheet in the Amplified, it says his intention, what, in giving these gifts, was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. What's he saying? He's given us gifts so that we can grow up to where we're supposed to do, so we can do what we're called to do. All of us. All of us. We need these gifts so that we can grow up, so that we can equip each other, so that we all can do what Jesus has called us all to do. We need each other. And we need these gifts that God has given the body of Christ. We are not islands to ourselves. We are not, well, I just don't need to go to church. You're deceived. and you're a target. People believe, you know, get off, well, I have the Spirit of God. We all have the Spirit of God. We don't need, you know, other people to minister. We don't need to get together. Deceived. Target. Going to get picked off. Because the Bible clearly tells us we need to get together. We need to gather together, and we need the giftings in the body of Christ. Why? Because they're better? No, because God's each called us each to do a place, and these specific things are going to help us reach our full potential. So when we say, well, I don't need that, we're saying basically, I don't need to do everything you called me to do, God. And none of us is better. None of us is above that. It's pride, it's deception, and we'll run into a brick wall sooner or later, and we cannot reach our full potential. Period. Period. If we're going to reach what we need to reach in following God, part of it's going to be humility. Part of it's going to be saying, God, I believe your word, regardless. You know, some people, they don't want to go. I'm teaching this. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm teaching this so we all are equipped. We all know. But some people, because you'll encounter this, I don't need to go to church. Part of it is they just don't want to go under anybody. A lot of times those people, they have problems at work. They don't want to listen to what their boss has to do. They have problems in their marriages. They don't want to listen to each other. They don't want to submit to anybody. They want it their way, but then they try to spiritualize it and say, well, God, I have a relationship with God. I don't need men. I don't need... No, we deal with people. Our relationship with God is shown in how we treat and interact with people. Yeah. People say, well, I love God, but I just can't stand people. No, no, I've heard ministers have said that. Well, ministry would be great if it weren't for the people. Well, is that like something Jesus would say? That's like saying, you know, I'm so spiritual. If I just go off in the desert and be with God, I'm great. But man, I have to talk to one person. Man, I can't stand that. What? No, what that means is, yeah, your relationship with God isn't what it should be. Because if your relationship with God is where it should be, and these are His other children, you're going to be nice to them. I'm telling you what, you think you're on real good terms with me, but you treat my children bad? Think about it. You think, oh, I'm good with Jim, but man, I can't stand Andrew or Brianna or Christine or Julie. You have a problem. That's not going to bless me. You're going to treat my children bad, but you say, well, I love you, but I don't like your kids. Huh? Is that true? Well, some people say, well, I just love you, God, but man, I can't stand these people. I can't stand those people at church. I can't find a pastor that I can listen to. Problem. You're a target. It's pride. I've heard it over and over. I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. This is because it's the Word of God. This is so we're all grown up, right? We need to know, we need to be able, we're not ignorant of what the devil tries to do because he does the same thing over and over. But if we can recognize it, we say, when we start to see this in our own life, try to pop its head up, because the devil will try it. Well, I don't know about what that, you know, I don't know if I need to do that. I'm questioning somebody. Well, I'm not saying you don't ask genuine questions. I'm saying when you start getting negative and critical and think you know everything, that's a problem because that's the way the enemy is. He's always trying to sow discord. He's always critical. That's not the Spirit of God. People think they have a spirit of discernment. No, what they have is the criticism. They're listening to the devil. Well, I really just can see everything wrong. Well, who can't? How hard is it to go and nitpick what's going on in any place? People can do that from the stands of a baseball game. That doesn't mean they can get out there and pitch 99 miles per hour. Well, he should have thrown this pitch. Yeah, can you throw any of the pitches he's throwing? I know I can't. Good night. I can't hit a curveball coming at me at, you know, 85, 90. I certainly can't hit a fastball going by me at 101. Yeah, but he should have done this. What? Seriously, that is nothing but pride. Now, I know you're watching the game, you know, light, but people look at this. It's when we take it seriously thinking, I know more than everybody else. He should do this. He should do that. Well, that doesn't take any brains at all. That's the devil. Do you hear me? I said, that's the devil. And he's got people thinking that they're more spiritual than everybody else, when actually the measure of spirituality is walking in love. And if you're not loving everybody, you're actually down here. Your spirituality is actually in the tank. Most of the people that think they're real spiritual aren't real spiritual. They're not. People that are walking in love are kind and nice and forbearing, and they look like Jesus and act like Jesus. You know, Jesus knows more than all of us combined, but I know he's nice to me. Whenever you feel like you're being beat up, like, yeah, you should have done this, dude, and you think it's God, it's not God. The Spirit of God is loving and kind because we're all little children. When it says, you know, over there in 1 John, little children, that's not a figure of speech. Compared to him, we are little children. God's been around forever. Ever. Do you think he knows more than we do? Of course he does. And we're starting out doing the best we can. He's not beating us up. He's saying, yeah, boy, you go. Go. Yeah, you're going to get there. You're going, yeah, girl, you're doing well. You keep it up. Go. I see your heart. You get up and go. That's him. The devil's going to say, you idiot, you messed up again. What are you doing? I can't believe you did that. Why'd you do it this way? So when you hear something coming out of somebody's mouth that sounds like stupid, what are you doing? What? That's the devil. When you hear somebody saying, you know, I know your heart, I can see what you're saying, go ahead. You know, if I say something, I'm preaching, I say something, and I get it flubbed up. You know, somebody that's spiritual says, I know what you meant, go, go, get it, I got it, keep going, don't worry about it, bring it. Yeah. Somebody thinks they're real spiritual, or not spiritual, but is not, will sit there, oh, well, he said 1 John, you know, 3:4, and it's really 1 John 4:3. Not the Spirit of God. Can't receive from him. That's gross. We don't want to be like that, do we? We don't want to be like each other. That doesn't go very far in marriage, does it? Anybody that's married can attest to that. You start nitpicking your spouse, boy, that doesn't go too well. No, we just bear with one another. We love one another. And that's the way we get along. But verse 12, he said, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. What's he talking about? He's saying he's going to grow us up. How is he going to grow us up? He just started out saying we have gifts in the body of Christ to help us mature and equip us and grow us up to where we need to be. I didn't say the people do that. The gifts do that. The Spirit of God working through people. There is a difference, but he uses men. He said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. That we would grow up. Do we all want to grow up? I know I do. I know I'm not done growing. Lots. Boy, the more you go, the more you realize I don't know anything. God, how have you used me this far? You can keep using me, Lord, but you know what you know. There are people that know much more than we do, and we'll just keep going on and keep getting further in him, but I want to keep growing up. How do we grow up? Part of it is going to be in a local body of believers with a pastor and with growing and rubbing shoulders with one another. We are going to be fed to be equipped, and part of the way we're going to grow up is by exercising within and rubbing shoulders with each other. Doing things. You learn. You grow. You think, well, I know everything. But then you get back in the children's, or you get back, you do certain things, you greet and whatever and stuff. You rub shoulders with somebody and doesn't quite rub you the way you thought. Well, then you're growing. You're learning how to operate with other people, learning how to love other people. We grow and learn in this context, and God set it up that way. He did. We all ought to be hooked up with a church, with somebody. This is the way God has set it up. Let's see. Do you have Hebrews 10:23 on your sheet? Let's go over there. Hebrews 10:23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What's he saying? We need one another.
Yes, we do.
We have to have one another. This is not optional. It is not optional to be in a local church and to be built up. And I'm just exhorting you. I know you guys are here, but we're encouraging us so we are solidly grounded. So we, with our family and everything, we say, no, you need this. No, we need each other. No, we need to be together. And we don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves. We cannot get fed and be where we need to be by watching other people at home on TV or listening to CDs.
Amen.
Did you hear me? You cannot. Some people say, well, my church is I watch so-and-so on Sunday mornings. That's not a church.
Come on.
Church is together. Okay? There's a difference. And people are trying to substitute one thing for another out of their own misunderstanding or pride and they wonder why stuff doesn't work. No, we need to do what the Word says that we need to do.
Right.
We need to be in solid. And you may say, well, I'm fine. I'm coming and this is to, I know I'm preaching to people that are here. But there are times the devil comes. And he tries to say, well, you know, you're just not getting as much as you need to. You don't need to. Just slack off. That's the start.
Yeah.
That's how he starts getting you that in anything. Do you know, we know this in anything, right? You've been exercising real well. Just going strong. And you're going so strong, you hit a day and it's like, I don't really feel like doing it today. I've been doing well. My diet's been going well. I'm just not going to go to the gym today. And then the next day, something comes up and makes it hard, and well, it, you know, there was this coming up, so I'm just not going to go. And now something else, a different habit is beginning to form that I'm not going. And if you keep on that for too long, pretty soon you haven't seen the gym in 4 weeks. And now you have to go back up and put that back in. And that happens naturally. It happens the same. People say, I'm tired or whatever. I don't want to come today. And this is not for my sake. We're preaching the Word. This is for you, whether you're here, whether you're in Alabama or California. We need to come together. We need to be together, and this is how we're going to grow and become what God has for us. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5 in your Bibles. 1 Peter 5. Were we talking about being built together? Honestly, look at me real quick. Do we want God's fullness for our life while we're here on this earth?
Yes.
Seriously. Because I don't know about you, it's not going to be that long before we're going to be walking off into eternity. If Jesus doesn't come, it's still not going to be that long. It's going to be a couple minutes by God's standard. Pretty soon we're all going to be gone. If Jesus doesn't come back, I don't care if you live to be 120, it's not that long. It's a few minutes and you're there. We don't have forever, and I don't know about you, but I'm not playing games. I want God's plan in my life, in my family's life, and if Jesus doesn't come back, I want my kids to be strong in the earth, and their kids, and we want to walk with Him. Do we? That we want everything He has for us. We don't need to exalt ourselves in men's ideas, say, well, I don't think we need this. It doesn't matter what I think. That's why we have the Bible, so that it, over the ages, in the decades, and the centuries, and the millennia, that we can look and say, this is what God said, whether doctrine comes or goes, or people say you need this, you don't need this, we can say, well, does it line up with the Word? If it lines up with the Word, then it's good. If it doesn't, I have to throw it out. And that goes for things that I may be doing that doesn't line up. Because the devil does know the way humans operate. He does know how to push buttons. And he will use the same tactics. And he will come and say, He'll just come and needle and just to try to appeal to your sense of pride or appeal to your sense of, you know, understanding or whatever. How? He just gets in there and he tries to say, yeah, but, yeah. Reasoning. Gets you off what the Word says. If we'll just stay within the guardrails of this, we will be as strong as we can be. And we need to just follow what His Word says in all these areas. Sometimes people, they just want to hear what their flesh wants to hear. They don't want to hear the truth, and then they wonder why things aren't happening. We are not that type. We want to hear, we want everything that God has for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." He's talking to pastors. What does he say? Verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers." That word shepherd, if you look in your look on your scripture sheet, right under 1 Peter 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 2 in the Living Bible, it says, "Feed the flock of God. Care for it willingly, not grudgingly, for not for what you get out of it, but because you are eager to serve the Lord." But notice that first part, "Feed the flock of God." Verse 2 in the New King James, go back there, "Shepherd the flock of God." I want to talk about pastors in context of this. When we're talking about giving, that God has given us gifts. He's given us these gifts to build us up. When we're in a local body, we all need a pastor. Yeah. A pastor is a certain office, and what is the main responsibility of a pastor is to feed us. Right. And I said us. We all need somebody we can go to. You say, who do you go to, Jim? There's a whole structure. I have Kenneth Hagin Jr. at the top. And he runs, you know, the organization. Then he put regional directors. My regional director is Sam Smucker in Pennsylvania. And then you have district people that deal with the people locally. And I have one up in Maine. Dave and Celeste Rogers. And if I need something, I can go to them, any of them. Yeah. And I make sure that I'm built up every week, watching things, sitting down, being sure that I'm getting ministered to every week. This is not isolated to a few people. I'm not preaching to you because I'm the pastor. I'm giving you what you need to run your race, whether you're here for 1 year or 5 years or wherever you are, because this is the Word of God. We all need to be built up. Before I was a pastor, I was there in Lincoln, Nebraska. I drew on my pastor, not because of the man, but because I knew that was a gift of God and an anointing on him. And that he had something I needed. I just, you know, whatever. I want to help out. When I went down to Raymond, Pastor Hagin, you know, was the one I listened to every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, unless I was back in the children's or whatever, just drawing on him. That's my pastor. Listening to him. Brother Hagin was in Pastor Hagin's church. He considered his son his pastor. You say, how can that be? He knows more. It's not about what you know. You're drawing on the Spirit of God and the gift on the man, not the man. If we'll get this clear, it comes when we come to listen. When you come to church, you're coming saying, I'm coming to hear from God. This man is somebody that God's anointed, and I believe I'm in this local body, but I'm believing that the chief shepherd, Jesus, do you notice that? Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." The chief shepherd is Jesus. He's our shepherd. A pastor's an under-shepherd. The way it ought to work is the chief shepherd knows what his sheep need, and he flows through the under-shepherd, the pastor, to feed his flock. It's not the pastor feeding. It's God, the Holy Spirit, coming and quickening what we need so that we're fed, so that we're strong, so that we need, so we get it. So many people get their eyes on a man. Don't ever do that. I said, don't ever do that. You go where God has called you to go and be faithful and hook up there until God moves you on. So many people, they get offended or they start looking at people and they miss God.
That's right.
They get out of the will of God because they're looking at people.
That's right.
I've been on the other side. Watch people get offended with Brother Hagin or Pastor and Mrs. Hagin. Well, I just don't know. And they go and they're still wallowing around in the same place 15 years later, 20 years later, because they would never just go where God wants them to do and stay there. They're always being critical of people.
Come on.
They can't receive from anybody.
That's right.
I mean, here Pastor Hagin's been in ministry for 50 years and people writing him emails telling him what to do and like they know, but that is so presumptuous and out of order.
Yes.
Even if you do know, you think you can see something the man does, it is totally disrespectful of not only the man, but of God himself. To go and say, I'm going to tell you a thing or two. We've lost that in this generation somewhat, that people just don't respect people that have been further than them.
Yeah, that's right.
And we need to get that back. And in the things of God, God is big on this. He is big on honor. If you say, well, I'd receive Jesus if he came up, but if you won't receive the person that he sent, you would not receive Jesus. Jesus is big on delegation. And if he sends somebody to talk to you and you say, oh, no, I can't receive from that, that's a problem. And if you're not humble, you'll have a hard time getting where God needs you to be.
That's
right. I know this could sound hard, but it's because we want to have our heads on straight. So when the devil tries to pop stuff up, you say, I'm not having any of that. Whether you're here or anybody place else. If we'll come in honoring God and say, God, I'm looking at you, not the person. Down at Rhema, this would happen on Sunday nights. See, Pastor Hagin, he's a smart man, wise man. He preaches on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Sunday nights, he has one of his associates preach, and he sits there and he gets fed. I said he sits there and he gets fed because he knows he needs to get built up by some people that are 25, 30 years his junior. If he can do that, then surely we can do it. Somebody that's been in ministry for 50 years sitting there, you know, letting somebody that's 40 years old preach to them. Why? Because they need it. Why? Because it's not the man, it's the anointing and the gift on the man, and we're receiving from Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit teaching us. But this would happen. People would realize, you know, who was speaking on a Sunday night. One of the associates. Well, I don't like them. I'm not going to church. But then when one of their favorites, well, I'm going. Totally missing it. It doesn't matter who's bringing it. If you're supposed to be in a church or somewhere, you hook up with that. It doesn't matter who brings the word. It's God that's anointing it. You're not going to get anything if it's just the man anyway. We need to look past that. And if we'll look past that and say, God, I'm receiving from you, you'll receive. Do you know it?
Amen.
A lot of what we receive is how we come in expecting. If we're pulling, saying, God, teach me, show me. That's why we pray at the beginning. That's not a ritual. That's not an exercise. It's so we're all getting hooked up, putting our faith together that God is going to teach us right now and show us. And you're opening up your heart saying, yeah, God, bring it. And he will. He does. He is faithful. Amen. He is a good God. So it says, shepherd the flock. That means to feed. So we are getting fed. When we come together, we are being fed and nourished. You have to look at it like spiritual food. Just like we eat food in the natural, the Word of God is our spiritual food. Look down just on your, well, we can flip back. It's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Before we go, hold your finger at 1 Peter and go to Before we go there, just look on your scripture sheet for the sake of time. Look at Acts 20. Hold your finger in 1 Peter. We'll go there in a minute. But Acts 20. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. He's talking to pastors. This is Paul talking to some pastors here. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church. Again, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You can see God's heart there. He's saying he's made you an overseer to shepherd the church, to shepherd the flock that he's purchased with his own blood. People are precious to God. And Paul's exhorting these people, saying, shepherd the church, feed them. God's made you an overseer, feed them. God has set it up so that we can be fed, get good meat. When you leave church, you ought to be just saying, this is the way you ought to look in the spirit. Just like you just had a good meal spiritually. You ought to leave here. If you don't leave like that, I haven't done my job. I haven't hooked up with him. We ought to be built up and ready to go back and run a race and say, yeah, that's what I needed. That's what I needed. I'm ready to go. I'm full. I'm nourished. I'm ready to go. That's how God does it. Now go back over to 1 Peter where you have your finger. 1 Peter 2. What is it that we're getting fed with? 1 Peter 2, 1, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's saying, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow. You know, we saw earlier in Ephesians, it says that you may grow up, that you may not be tossed to and fro by all the doctrine, that you may grow up into him. How are we going to grow? The word of God. And not just the word. We can read the word. When the word of God is preached and anointed by God, what does anointed mean? Anointed means how the Holy Spirit's working. Christ means anointed. We say Christ Jesus, that's not his first name, that's a title. He's the anointed one, the Messiah. God anoints people to do certain things. When somebody says, well, they're anointed to sing, that's not just Christianese, that's Bible for you've been gifted by God to do something. When you sing, we sense the presence of God. When you share the word, the presence of God's there. It's not just a man speaking, it's God teaching and filling in the blanks and showing. When we sit under the anointed teaching of the word, we grow. We get what we need. We're built up. We're fed. We become strong. We get a balanced meal. And this is the other thing. See, we're talking about a pastor. Notice there's other gifts. They're called to do a specific job in the body of Christ. Some people have tried to take a teacher and say, that'll be like my pastor, I'll listen to them instead of coming to church. That would be like just having a special diet of a certain thing all the time. That's not like the meals, the well-balanced meals you should be getting at home. A pastor is gifted by God to give us well-balanced, nourishing meals, what we need right at the time. And so we get not just this one subject. Somebody may be gifted to teach a certain subject. But that doesn't mean if we listen to that at the excess of everything and aren't, the way God set it up, aren't listening to the pastoral ministry, which is giving us everything we need, we'll become lopsided. Our right arm may become huge, but the rest of our body is just emaciated because we're just weak. We don't have any nourishment. People say, well, I'm just going to listen to this guy. I just want more of this. I just want more of this. This is all I want to hear. Sooner or later, you're going to get completely out of balance and you're going to be a weak. We need it the way God set it up. And we need to respect the way he set it up. And when we do, we are nourished and built up. and become strong and strong and stronger. And we just go from glory to glory and faith to faith. And we just keep going on with God. And people look at us and say, you're going, you're getting stronger, you're getting strong. What is it? It's just staying faithful and consistent in the way He set it up and not exalting ourselves over God and saying we're smarter, we have a better way of doing it. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. You are good. That the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Praise God. Let's go to Luke 4 and we'll close here. Luke 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are good and your mercy endures forever. Luke 4, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. Luke 4, verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now he's reading from Isaiah. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the accepted year of the Lord." Jesus operated not as God on the earth. He was God, 100% God, 100% man, but his earthly ministry was as an anointed man. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He didn't do anything until the Holy Spirit anointed him. But he said, "I am anointed to do this." This is the same way God works through people now. Jesus didn't do all the things he did as God. Otherwise, there's no way we could do any of them. But he said, "Greater works that you will do than these." Because he was doing them not as God, but he was doing them, he laid down his glory, the Bible says. He was 100% God, he came as man, and he did it anointed by God. He preached with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is the way God does it today. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." When you're listening to the word preached and it's anointed, that means the Spirit of God is working. That means the Spirit of God is moving. That means when I say something, you get something completely different because the Holy Spirit's quickening something to you. He knows what's going on. And he takes what I say and he quickens it and teaches us. And he doesn't just stop teaching us when our service ends. He teaches us into the night. He teaches us in the next several days. He brings stuff up. He nourishes us. He builds us up. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.